God, for all the things we heard tonight and for that song. Such a blessing. Hallelujah. It's nice to have Jesse Kuo with us. He's joined our staff, and we're glad. I was at your parents' wedding, and one of the activities that we had at the reception was we were supposed to write a song for the couple to any tune that we wanted, like Mary Had a Little Lamb or Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And so we all got busy at our tables. We had paper and pen, and we're writing, trying to write a poem or a song so we can sing for Isaac and Elizabeth. And we had a contest. The winner got tickets to Starbucks, the little gift certificates. So we won, me and Brother Eddie, and there were a few others. And we sang about marriage and how God brought them together. And then the last verse had something to do with, and if God one day should bless you with children, upon your knees, we beg you. And then we got down and we beg you, please, don't name them Status Quo. Well, it was a big hit. And they didn't, right? That's not your middle name, I hope, right? Okay. Amen. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about, we're going through the life of Elijah pretty well. I think we might actually finish if we don't take too much time on either story. Tonight I'd like to move on to chapter 19, verses 14 through 21. This is 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 14 through 21, where the Lord makes Elijah to know that God's not done with him yet. He was ready to die. He wanted to give up. He thought he had finished the work God called him to do, and now he didn't want to be around any longer. But the Lord said, no, I've still got more to do for you. And so the Lord got him out of that depression, got his eyes back on the Lord. And then God began to speak to him about the next step in his will for him. Somebody prayed, Lord, don't let me outlive my usefulness to you. Lord, I don't want to live. If you're not going to use me, then I don't want to live anymore. But Lord, if you want to use me, then help me to fulfill and finish the work that you've called me to do. Don't outlive my usefulness. You know, some people, as they get older, they somehow convince themselves that now I'm old, we got to leave all that for the young people. And they don't let God use them like they used to. And they're just kind of taking up a lot of space. God has invested so much in them throughout the years that they could be a greater blessing in the latter years of their life than they were when they were young. But sometimes they develop that attitude. Well, I did my part, now leave it for the young people. We want to serve Jesus right to the end. We want to be all that we can be for God, as we've been hearing, right to the very end. And everything that God has invested in me and done in me, I want to use for his glory, so that the next generation will see the strength of the Lord and that they'll be inspired to serve God with all their hearts. Praise God. And so the Lord spoke to him and told him, there are three things that I want you to do. He says, one thing is I want you to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Now that's interesting. Here's a prophet of Jehovah anointing a king of another country, a country that one day God would use to chastise his own people. And somehow God called Elijah to be part of that. So I said chapter 19, verses 14. Okay, here Elijah expresses his concerns again, but maybe with a different attitude now. Now he's willing to listen. And then the Lord says, and the Lord said unto him, go return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. Of course, that had to do with after Ahab was taken out of the picture. And Elisha, the son of Japheth, of Abel-Meholah, shall thou anoint to be the prophet in your room, your successor. And it shall come to pass, him that escapes the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. And then he says, oh, by the way, I have yet left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed his image. I know you think you're the only one left, but I got news for you. I've got 7,000 you don't know about. And I'm aware that they have been faithful to me, and they have been true to their convictions, and they have not succumbed to the pressure of Baal worship and so on. Praise God. We talked this morning about sometimes we feel all alone. We feel like we're the only one left. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. And you find out that, oh, you're not alone. You're not alone. There have been people that have been through what you've been through and even worse. And God has kept them. And God has proven himself. And you're not alone. It's good to be part of an assembly and not just separate yourself from the people of God. I'm a little concerned about some people in our church who, since COVID, have not showed up. I see that they watch our live stream every once in a while, and that's good. I'm glad for that. But, you know, over the live stream, there's no interaction. They just sit down and take it in. But there's no opportunity for them to be a blessing, to help anybody else, to be part of the community of believers. It becomes rather self-centered, as we heard a little bit about before. You know, I'm part of the body of Christ. I need to be connected with the people of God. God has done something for me, not to keep to myself, but to enable me to be a blessing and to build up others. I can't do that in my living room when I'm watching Brother Kenny preach on YouTube or something. It's better to get involved in a Zoom meeting where at least you can do something. But that's a problem sometimes, too. I've been trying to encourage our people, come on, it's time to get back together. And there have been some people that are very faithfully. They come regularly, and they're a blessing. And sometimes I say, let's gather around the altar. I want the people at home to see that this is something you can't do at home. You can't be around the altar with us. You can't pray. Let's pray for one another. You can't do that. And, you know, we get into habits, and we were talking. I was talking to Brother Richard in the water today until he got waterlogged and decided he had to leave. But we talked about how, you know, we can get used to staying home now and watching. And we don't have to get in the car. We don't have to find a parking space. We don't have to skip supper. We can have supper while we watch and so on. And we can understand. I mean, in Ridgewood, I know it's very hard to find parking. It's getting that way in Canarsie, too. Sometimes you drive around longer finding parking than it took you to get to Ridgewood. Brother James Wolfogel, I like what he does. He has a scooter in the back of his van. And so he can park 2 miles away. It doesn't matter. He just goes and finds a parking space, jumps on his scooter, and comes down to the church. He's so clever. He does things like that. You know, you got to get creative, I guess. But, you know, we got to get back together. Or yes, there's a reason why you feel alone, because you're separating yourself from the people of God. And God has called us. He puts the solitary in families. He wants you to be part of the family of God, and that family in particular that he has brought together in your home church. Get to know one another. Get to love one another. Get to work together. Learn to pray together. Go out and witness together. Oh, God, has called us to be together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Praise God. So, when you go back home, go to church. Okay. And so he had these ministries yet. Right? There's some people that need to be anointed. You know, before you leave, I want certain things in place. Because when you're gone, the work of God has to continue. It has to go forward. And so we read how the Lord used him to do some of these things. And then he was ready to go. When he finished the work that God had called him to do, now he was ready to go. You're not ready when you think you're ready. We're ready when God says we're ready. Some people God takes home early because they're done. John the Baptist died a young man, but he finished the work that God had called him to do. He prepared the way for Jesus to come. When Jesus stepped out on the scene and began to minister, John's work was done. We were talking with Brother Dale, reminding ourselves of a story that when Brother Hans died, Brother Hans Walfogel, we hear so much about him, you almost feel like you know him, and yet I don't. But when he died, I think Brother Edwin told me this. He said, you know, Brother Edwin now had inherited the church, and who could fill Brother Hans's shoes, right? And he, when Brother Wanamaker, a good friend of Brother Hans, that's Brother Wanamaker's picture there, when he was visiting or came for the funeral, Brother Edwin said, oh, Brother Hans, I don't know what happened. Brother Hans was sick. We prayed for him. We prayed for him night and day. We had a prayer chain. We needed him. He was such a blessing, and I don't know how we're going to live. I don't know why God didn't answer our prayer. I don't know why we prayed so hard. And Brother Wanamaker said, he finished his work. Forget it. God took him home. He was done. Well, that was pretty simple. Right? He finished his work. God took him home. Forget it. Brother Edwin, he said, well, that really woke him up. Yeah, I didn't have to figure out why God didn't heal him and answer a prayer. He finished his work. So God took him home. Now we got to continue the work. And God anointed Brother Edwin mightily, and oh my, what a blessing he was. He didn't minister exactly like Brother Hans because he wasn't Brother Hans, he was Brother Edwin. But oh, he had anointing upon his life. And God continued the work that was begun through Brother Hans. And God doesn't want his work to end with you. You're not all that important. But God wants you to prepare the next generation so that when I'm gone, the work of God will continue through my children and through others. You know, sometimes you think you're so irreplaceable. And then 5 minutes after you're dead, they got three replacements. And, well, I don't think that they were waiting for you to go, but God knows how to fill those empty places. And he's preparing people to do so. Praise God. So God wants us to have this faith. Lord, finish the work in me that you've begun before you take me to heaven. You know, Jesus, he prayed in John chapter 17, and one of the first things he said is, Father, I have finished the work that you've called me to do. Jesus knew that. And of course, he knew that Calvary was yet before him, but he knew that he was going to go through with that by the grace of God. And that all the scriptures would be fulfilled. He would die. He would be resurrected. He would ascend. Send the Holy Spirit to continue his work in our hearts and in the world. And so he said, Father, I finished the work that you've given me to do. I remember looking at that chapter and I wondered, well, what did Jesus mean by that? And then if you read the chapter carefully, you find out that he said, I have manifested your name to those that you've given me. In other words, I've revealed you to them. I have shown them who you are. That was part of the work that Jesus was given to do. When Philip said, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied, Jesus said, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Our brother talked about that mysterious, beautiful union within the Godhead. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I have manifested your name to those whom you have given me. I just want to turn to that John chapter 17 and just pick up on some of those other things that Jesus said. And then he said, what else have I done? Verse 6, I have manifested your name to them whom you've given me. I have kept them in thy name. Verse 12. Those whom you've given me, I've kept them and haven't lost any one of them except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. In verse 14, part of the work that Jesus came to do was to give us his word. Verse 14, I have given them thy word. The world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil. And as you go through this chapter, there are other things that Jesus says that he has done for them. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I'd encourage you to take time to read through that chapter and find out, what did Jesus say he did that had something to do with him finishing the work that God had called him to do? And you know, some of those things can be applied to our lives as well. Not that we're Christ or have the same call, but we can let people see Jesus in us. We can share the Word of God with them. We can pray for them and believe that God will sanctify them and reveal himself. Praise God. There's a few verses in the Bible that talk about the finished work, and we'll just look at those yet. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 7:8. Okay, Deshaun, which one are you? Rayshon. There's two boys in the school that I'm involved in, and they're identical twins. And so every day when I see him, I say, are you you or are you your brother? And he looks at me so strange. I'm me. You sure? Yeah, and me. Well, Michael, he wears braces, so I get him to smile. Hey, you, smile. Oh, hi, Michael. George doesn't have braces. Are you you or your brother? Can you read Ecclesiastes for us? Ecclesiastes, what was that verse? 7:8.
Better is the end of a thing than its beginning, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit.
Good. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. A lot of people that start well, but they don't end well. Jesus talked about some people's lives end like finished towers, unfinished towers. Years ago in Ridgewood, we used to always pass a building that was never finished. It was under construction down on Cypress Avenue. That's one I'm thinking of. And I remember recently driving down Cypress Avenue, and now there's this beautiful building. It was in such disrepair. There were no windows in it for years, and it just wasn't completed. I wondered who bought that thing, and why aren't they building? And it's just become an eyesore. You know, some people's lives are like that. They start well, but they don't finish. They don't finish well. They don't make it over the finish line. You know, it's more important that you finish well than that you start well. And that's what we're told here. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Some people didn't start out so well, but somehow God got hold of them. And my, they gave themselves and finished well. Hallelujah. Let's look up another verse. 2 Timothy 4:7.
I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing.
Praise God. Thank you. The Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. He sure did. I have finished my course. He knew that he was He was just about done. And I have kept the faith. And now I know that there's a crown awaiting me. And for all those that have been faithful and that love the appearing of Jesus, I finished my course. The Apostle Peter talks like that too. He says, I know that I'm soon going to lay aside this tabernacle. He's talking about his body. In other words, I know that I'm going to die soon. The Lord has made that known to me. And so I'm wanting to remind you of certain things because I won't be around much longer. But I've taught you and I've prayed for you and I've invested in you. And now that work has to continue when I'm gone. And so he gave them the word of God and they were able to continue seeking God as they were taught and to follow his good example. And so Paul, he knew that he had finished his course. There's one place where the Apostle Paul says, you know, I'm in prison here, and they could kill me. And he said, you know, to be with Christ would be far better, actually. You know, since I follow Jesus, I've been beaten up, whipped, tortured, thrown in prison, stoned to death, left a day and a night in the ocean and the sea. And I've been cold, I've been hungry, I've been hunted down like an animal. So, the thought of going to heaven is kind of attractive. He said, but to be with you, to stay here and continue ministering to you is more needful. And so I'm willing to stay and continue serving God until my work is done. And then God will call me higher. Let's read one more, okay? Revelation 2:10. Revelation 2:10, please.
Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown.
Praise God. Well, that whole verse gets you thinking. But that end part, be faithful unto death. Just keep serving me. Keep trusting me right to the end. And I will give you a crown of life. In Psalm 138, verse 8, it says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Don't forsake the work of your own hands. The psalmist was believing that God was going to perfect that which he had begun in him. We hear the story of Brother Wanamaker. No, I'm checking myself. I think it was Mrs. Robinson. Yes. That she was studying the Bible. As in the latter years of her life, as godly a woman as she was, she was doing very simple studies in the Bible. She did a study on love. And she was reading all the verses and praying over the verses on love. Now, here's a woman that had been serving God for years, a blessing to hundreds and hundreds of people, walking with God and in such a wonderful way. And yet she was still doing simple Bible studies on the fruit of the Spirit and so on. And she said, you know, these things have to be perfect. That's why I go over them again, and I pray, Lord. I want the love of God to be perfect in my life. I want his patience and his holiness and his kindness to be perfect in my life. And so she went over them again and again. Praise God. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. And she was believing him to do that before he took her home. And then, he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That's in Philippians 1:6. I'm confident of this very thing, the Apostle Paul said to the Philippians. God began something in you, and he has every intention of performing, of working, and perfecting that right to the day of Jesus Christ when he returns. Praise God. And so God wants to work in us right to the very end. And so we ought to believe God to perfect his work in us. Lord, don't let me ever get to a place where I say, let the young people do it. I did my part. When I get older, I can't do some of the things I used to do. I can't, when I was younger, I drew, well, I can still do this, drive the van to pick people up for Sunday school. But you know, when you're in your 90s, it's probably better to let somebody else do that. I've seen people over the years, as they got older, their ministries changed. But they were still serving God with all their hearts. Many of them gave themselves to a life of prayer. We had a man in Canarsie, his name was Brother Ray Feliciano, and he loved the Lord, and he served God. After he retired, he began to attend every single meeting with me that he could. On Monday morning, he came to the Faith Home, and he attended the minister's meeting. He was welcome to be there. But on Monday morning, he said, "Can I go with you to that meeting?" "Sure." Tuesday night, he was in the prayer meeting in Canarsie. Wednesday morning, he came with me to Ridgewood because they had a Wednesday morning worship time, time of prayer in the afternoon. Thursday night, we were back in Canarsie for Bible study. Friday night, he went to Ridgewood with me. Sunday morning and Sunday night, he was in Canarsie. The man was in as many meetings as I was. And he was retired. But, oh, he said, "Now I have more time to seek God. Now I have more time to serve him." And as I say, as he got older, he couldn't do some of the things he did when he was younger. But, oh, that didn't stop him from finding ways to serve God and to pray and to let God use him. There came a time when he had to move to California. His wife wasn't feeling well, and it seemed that every time she went to California, she felt better. Is that what happens when you go to California? No. It's interesting. She had terrible pain in New York, and she would visit her daughter in California. I don't know if it was the climate or the altitude or whatever. Pain was gone. And so, but she knew that her husband loved the church and loved to serve God here in New York. And so, she wanted to stay here and suffer because she loved her husband and she knew he loved New York. And he told her, "Listen, anytime you want to go to California, I love you so much, I'll leave." And so that went on for a few years, and eventually the Lord moved them over there. And it came a time in his life he couldn't get to church anymore. But you know, I think back of all those times and all those years where he gave himself. I don't think he regretted that. I think he was thankful for every meeting he was in and everything he heard and everything God did for him when he was able to seek God like that. It did him well when the opportunity was no longer there. And he finished well also. And we praise God for that. And so let's finish well. I don't know where you've come from and how what kind of lifestyle you've come out of. That's behind us now. Let's finish well. Let's, as we heard tonight, full surrender. Let's be our best for Jesus. Let's say, "Lord, I don't know how much time I have left, but Lord, I want to use every moment of that to live for your glory. I want you to be able to say to me, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.'" Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to change the order of our service in just a moment. And I would encourage you, spend some time. Spend some time waiting upon God. Hallelujah. Oh, we just got a couple more days together like this. Let's make sure that we open our hearts and let Jesus finish the work that he has begun in us at this time. Let's have faith for one another. God will do that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us then be true, faithful, trusting, serving every day. Hallelujah. Just one glimpse of him in glory will all the toils of life repay. Hallelujah. We can sing that. It's a happy song, but we're happy people when we give ourselves to the Lord like that, aren't we? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. 150. 150. I think Brother Paul has the book memorized. He should by now, right?
Praise God. 150.
We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to sing and shout the victory. But we can shout the victory even now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. As we follow our victorious Savior. Lord, we pray that you will enable us to finish well, Lord. God, we pray that you'll help us to put all our heart into loving and seeking and serving you, Lord. Don't let us let up. Don't let us leave it for others. But Lord, we pray that the Holy Ghost will lead us on and finish the work that you have begun in each of our lives, Lord. Don't let us be satisfied until we know Jesus is satisfied, fully satisfied with each and every one of us. Commit ourselves to you now, Lord. Bless us as we wait upon you, Lord, and cover us with your precious blood throughout this night, the whole camp. Lord, let the presence of God settle upon this place, every corner, every inch, every one. Cover with your precious blood, Lord. Keep us protected and from evil. And work in us all night long, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
recognize that melody. Brother Paul's playing, keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. There's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won by thy power. Every hour, keep me true. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Make us concerned about finishing well. God, pray that you'll help us to keep our eyes on the goal, not get sidetracked or distracted, not get weighed down by the cares of this life. Lord, we've got a race to run. There are victories to be won. Lord, we're trusting you, Jesus, to fill our vision. Help us to keep our eyes on you, Lord, no matter what comes our way. To believe you, that you who have begun a good work in us, you are able to bring it to perfection, to complete that which you've begun. Help us to believe you to do it, Lord. Lord, in this quiet meeting, change lives tonight. By the power of the Holy Ghost, according to thy word. Amen.